Hi, y'all. Sadly, no new episode this week due to life and schedules, but we'll be back next week with our regularly scheduled programming and tangents. If you want to talk about making and connect with other makers in the meantime, check out our Instagram highlights at Clampcast for a link to our Discord server. Other than that, hope you all have a fabulous week and enjoy this classic Clamp episode. Bye.
Hello and welcome to Clamp, the Creating, Living, and Making podcast. I'm your host, Grant Alexander, and joining me this week is Morley Kurt.
Yo.
And Adam Mackey.
G'day.
So, Morley, what's in your clamps this week?
In my clamps this week, I finally submitted something that I've been working on for months in the background, I think since February, and that is my Canadian permanent residence application,
woot.
Which is very exciting. It's a nice big weight off my back, and it ended up being about 80, probably like 70 or 80 pages that I had to mail in It's a pretty outdated system. Pretty sure they just scan it when it arrives, which is ridiculous.
You'd be surprised that what they don't do.
Yeah, the funny thing is my work permit application after I graduated was all online. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, this one you have to mail in. So it was a lot of documents that I had to get together, a lot of triple checking. Like I checked it with a lawyer to make sure it's all good. So sometime in the next year, because the processing time is 12 months, I should find out if I've been accepted or not.
When does your work visa expire?
In like a year and 3 months.
Oh, okay.
Oof. Yeah. So you can get extensions if you're waiting for processing. So I'm not too worried.
I don't understand why they want paper copies of stuff. Like when I've applied to get my car re-registered, like applied to make it fixable and registerable, and it has to be paper, not online. I don't get it.
Yeah. I swear, there's so much waste. Well, this isn't a hot take, but like imagine just how much time could be saved if you didn't have to submit paper mm-hmm. copies of official documents. Just like so much frustration comes from that.
So as a person who works in the government, I can tell you why it is. There's two reasons. One, the paper documents has to do with forgery. For a lot of stuff, they only accept paper documents because of how easy it is to forge electronic versions of stuff. And the technology isn't available for the majority of people to like submit permanent resident status.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a fair accessibility issue.
Right. Now, what they should do and what they're probably going to do eventually is accept both. That's what they should do. But the secondary problem is that the public service is filled with boomers who don't understand technology at all, and do not listen to young people, myself included, when we say, if we scanned this, we would save time. And they say, no, I don't think so. And then we have to make 4 photocopies of it. And I say, that's the same thing as if we had scanned it once. And then we could send it to someone else who can print it on their end. Or not, because they'd actually prefer the PDF. Yeah.
So I would sympathize with the forgery argument if it wasn't for the fact that I had to scan original documents, print them out, and then mail those scans. And that was the majority of the application. The only things I had to sign by hand were forms that I could have digitally signed and printed out, and you wouldn't have been able to really tell the difference. Hmm. So
I was about to say the same thing. The car stuff. The car stuff is about forgery.
Yeah, but so I sent in my paperwork for my car, and I got a letter back saying that I had missed one thing that they needed. So I had to message my insurance company and get a copy of this letter to send off. They emailed it to me. I then had to print it off and send it in when I could have just forwarded the email onto whoever.
Right. Yeah, that's a boomer. So it had nothing to do with forgery. So like a safety certificate, you used to need to bring the safety certificate and they had to look at it because it was like a carbon paper version, right? So it was like very, it was difficult to forge. Well, now it's all done electronically. They look it up in the system. You can bring the paper, and if it's not in the system, they don't give a flying F.
Yeah.
But that's awesome news. Anyways, Morley. Sorry. That was a rant on the side about all my jobs, but awesome news.
Yeah.
It's all good. Thank you. Yeah, it's very exciting. It's also a little nerve-wracking because now that it's in, I can't change anything, but I've quadruple-checked everything. So I think it should be good. In other news, I finished up the mini Bowie knife and the associated video, which was a lot of fun. I mentioned this on the little Patreon behind the scenes podcast, but like for months now, I've been trying to think of some sort of little like fidget toy or like medallion or something that I wanted to make that felt high quality. And I feel like I accidentally made one with this thing, with the exception of like, there's not really a good way to carry it around, but it's just like this nice little thing to like play with. And it feels like a real little knife. I know what you're going to say, Grant, I should make a sheath.
And I was about to say, you're a leather worker, make a sheath.
Yeah. Probably not going to make a video about it because it'd be approximately 20 seconds long. But
no, you know what you should do is you should make a sheath for like a belt, but then put it on like a Barbie doll.
Ooh. Or make it,
or a Ken doll.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Hmm. Or make like a little like finger sheath, a belt for my finger.
Yes.
Oh, that's even better. And then you can like walk it along.
That's how you say it. Do it.
And then it'll be riding a tech deck at the outro of the video.
Yes.
All right, you better do this, Neil.
So that was fun to finish up. It was a satisfying project. The video's not doing well, but you know, what can you do? Last thing is tomorrow, as of the date of this recording, the day of this recording is the last day of the first session of camp. So we're kind of scrambling right now to get our last day closing ceremonies all finished up for tomorrow. Well, tomorrow's happening, whether we like it or not. So tomorrow will be that day, and then we'll start session two, which is the more like engineering, sustainability, more building. I mean, they're all building, but it's the Sidewalk Labs themed session, which Grant, you might know what that is, but I'll put in the show notes for those who don't.
I don't know what that is.
I won't take time now to explain it. Anyone who's interested in the story of Google's Sidewalk Labs can check out the show notes. But yeah, no, it's cool. And I feel like we're in a pretty good spot. And the team that I'm working with continues to just impress me. Everyone's just working so well together, even amidst all the camp chaos and all the random disruptions and things that come up.
I wonder if the like high, the what it's a high stress, high output, short period. Mm-hmm. So everyone knows it's going to end. Like there's only X number of weeks and then we'd get a break. Right. I feel like that makes it so that people are willing to put in a little bit of extra every day, because they know the end is, it's only for this much and it's at most the summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's
definitely a phenomenon. Like I would say like the majority of people are staying late most days to, especially today where like they're trying to finish off all the, like the end of session little gifts that they're making for their campers and everything else. I guess in even simpler terms, I would just call that like campiness. Like that's just what camp is to me. But yeah, I think that's a good way to put it because it is so short and yeah. So it's cool. It's going to be over before I know it. But with that, Adam, what have you been up to this week?
I haven't really done much. I've been sick most of the week. I came home from work on Tuesday and just felt like I didn't really have much energy. I didn't feel sick. I just didn't really have energy. So I just went to sleep on the lounge. And then Wednesday, driving home from work, I ended up getting a COVID test because I felt like death pretty much. And I've been in bed ever since, waiting for my results, which I'm still waiting on. It's now Friday, for those that are listening. But I finally got my tax check back and I've been spending a fortune. I finally bought my CNC, which is very exciting. Bought my CNC. I bought the full version of my editing program, which is pretty cool. And with that, I thought it was going to get delivered today, but it looks like it's going to be Monday now. When I bought the full program, I actually got, it was on sale for $100 off, and I got a $20 voucher. So $120 off this program. And then it comes with this like mini keyboard thing that's just, it's called a speed editor, and it's specifically made for editing. And this thing's worth the price of the program. So I could essentially sell it and be up $120 and have the program for free. So I'm pretty excited to get that. Yeah, bought CNC, bought everything I need for the CNC, and it's pretty much it. Just been online shopping.
What CNC did you get?
So I got, it's called a Bluey. It's all Australian made.
That sounds Australian considering your recommendation.
The guy lives in Melbourne, I believe, and because it's such a small company, like, it's going to take about a month for him to actually make the CNC and ship it. But, I mean, everyone in Australia that I've looked at recommends this CNC. And they build it and test it before they ship it out. And then they ship it out, like, halfway through. Like, half built. So it takes about half an hour to put together as opposed to 10 hours for an X-Carve. So I'm going to make a video putting it together. And then I'm going to make another video of, like, making some attachments and stuff for it.
That's cool. The guy's name appears to also be Adam.
Yep. Yeah, and he sells. He has a company called Adam's Bits.
Yeah.
So when I bought the CNC, I got 20% off for the life of the CNC for bits, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
Sweet.
Yeah. So I spent about $200 on bits as well.
That's a pretty nice little. Bump.
Yep.
Cool.
But yeah. Other than that, I've just been laying in bed watching TV.
Well, what have I been up to, you ask? Thanks for that beautiful transition. I released my first video from the Bowler Project. It was it's just installing. It's a how-to video on how to install a door holder. So it's a particular. It's like the most expensive door holder that's available. It's ridiculous. I think it was $35 Canadian. It's cheaper on Amazon US. It's like $20 Canadian. But, like, you can get a door holder for a trailer for like $3. Or you can get this one for $20, right? So it's a very expensive one. But it's the only one that works because the door on the Bowler is curved and it doesn't open all the way. If it opens all the way, it ends up hitting on itself. So anyways, it's like this JR Products 10-3-4-5, and it is actually doing really well. It's doing well on YouTube because I posted the video in a bunch of different Bowler particular, like the trailer that I have, their groups, and there's no other how-to video on how to install a door holder on these trailers, so I'm hoping that it will continue to build and grow bigger. But the other thing is I posted a little video of me opening and closing the door on Imgur, and I got on the front page, or their most viral is what they call it. And so I've kind of been spending the last like 24 hours responding to lots of comments about people who think they know better, but it's half the fun of going viral.
What's the controversy that occurs in a Bowler trailer comment section?
So there's two controversies. The first is everyone thinks that the arm is going to hit, like, driving down the road and scratch my paint.
Okay.
But if they looked at it, it's clear it's impossible. The arm would have to bend, or it would have to rub through the mount. And if it's rubbing through the mount, something really seriously wrong has happened, right? It's aluminum. So if it rubs through its own mount, something's wrong. And if it bends, something else is wrong. Just because it rests on the mount that's attached to the Bowler. If you take a look at the video or any pictures of it, you'll see what I mean. Like, it's not.
If you weren't so stupid, you would know what I mean.
Well, if you just look at it, you just go, it's not possible. It's not physically possible for this to happen. And then the second one is someone said, it's ugly because it's on the outside. And I said, well, that's where door holders go. He's like, I would have put it on the inside. And I went, okay. there's a screen door in the way, so putting it on the inside, like, it's not in the pictures. The screen door is not installed yet. So I can understand you know, you don't know the layout of my trailer. You don't know anything about it. And then he later says, I don't know the layout of your trailer, but this is what I do for a living, is I design stuff like this. And I said, okay, no problem. Come on over, design something for me, and I'll gladly pay you the same price that I paid for this. and he said, touche. So he actually, in the end, was a decent person about it. And I thought that was nice. But Imgur is actually pretty nice. Most of the people on there are pretty nice. I feel there's a bit of Reddit, because it's like a holdover from before Reddit had photo hosting abilities. But yeah, anyways, it's kind of cool to be a most viral. And I've had it happen once before on Imgur, and I've been on the like trending on Reddit a couple times. And it's kind of one of those things. It's a fun, you know, little high to chase. And I wanted to chat about that and hear your guys' experiences on, you know, chasing the high and, you know, or having a video blow up on YouTube. I know, like, Adam, you got that tour, your Ryobi video. Got thousands of views on that.
I think that's almost at 10,000, buddy.
Yeah. But when you compare, you like, anytime I look at, if I release
when I compare a video, my 100 that I get per video.
Right. Well, that's the same. Like, it's when I look at it and I post a video and it's like 10 out of 10 or even 5 out of 10, you know, I know I just feel like I didn't get the high I was hoping.
Mm-hmm. 1 out of 10 is the best, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because my latest video is sitting at 1 out of 10.
Well, there you go. It's doing great. Bow, bow,
bow. Yeah, but it's only 175 views.
Well, that's good for you. That's half your subscribers.
True.
Boom. Think about that.
Boom. Yeah, it's really tough. I definitely struggle with that feeling. I think as anyone who like makes videos and has expectations about how they'll perform. And like, I think especially just with my personality, like, I get stressed out by things that I feel like are going to have an impact on me that like are outside of my control. So like, I like to try to like focus on the things that are within my control. And I mean, considering I'm not a social media professional or like a wizard, a lot of the outcomes of like posting videos on YouTube do kind of feel like outside of my control. Like, you know, like this is the project, this is the way I'm kind of presenting it. I try to do as much as I can to get as many people as I would like to watch it. And sometimes it just doesn't work. And yeah, it doesn't feel great, especially when you've had stuff that has gotten a lot of views, and especially recently, because I feel like all of my last like 5-7 videos have like done like pretty poorly, like considering the general performance of my channel. And I've kind of like accepted that in a way. Like a lot of times when I put something out, I'm like, this could go really, really well, or there's a good chance that it won't. But at least for my own mental health, I try not to base too much of how I feel about it on that. Although it's really, really difficult. Like I try, but it's, you know, when, like you said, Grant, once you've had something do well, it's like, yeah, that was pretty cool. Although that being said, the times that things have kind of blown up, I have found that it in some ways is like, doesn't feel as exciting as I would have expected. I was like, oh, this is a very interesting that's happening. Like, why are 10,000 people suddenly interested in this? And right. It's more just like, this is kind of cool.
Right. You're not getting the high isn't as high as you hope, but the low is lower than the low.
Yeah. And I think that's a general phenomenon in human psychology. It's like bad experiences always feel worse than good experiences feel good. If they're like in similar magnitude, that's a pretty it's been a proven psychological phenomenon that like, if you make $100, it doesn't feel as good as losing $100 feels bad. So we're biased towards the badness of losing something.
So I'll put it the way I actually feel is a little different, because I actually feel making the first 100 feels amazing, right? But every single losing of 100 hits me hard, right? So the second time I make 100, it's not as exciting. The third time, it's nothing. The fourth, you know what I mean? But every time I lose 100, it hits. Like, I go to the casino with $100. I play a couple rounds of blackjack. 5 minutes later, it's gone. I go, well, that sucked, right? And every time. But if I make $100 in that, you know, one hand of blackjack or something, I double my money. The first time, it feels great. The second time, I feel like I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Right? Mm. Like, I'm always expecting it to do bad.
So when you put out something, you're always expecting it to do poorly.
Right. And then when it does, and so like I've, but then I still get hit hard when it doesn't do well. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like I expect it to do poorly. And then when it does poorly, I go, why did it do so poorly? Right. Like,
I do the same thing.
Right.
Like, for sure. Like, I know that I only get 100-something views per. Like, I never hit 200 views on a video, but then every time I'm like, why am I hitting 200 views?
Right.
Like, come on, finally, let me blow up already.
Right. Yeah, and it's doubly as hard because, like, I'm of the opinion that, like, every month, every year on YouTube, it gets more and more difficult to kind of rise to the top because there's more and more people who are doing it in, like, a big way. It's like Jimmy DiResta was saying on Making It, like it used to be that, like, you could do a triple backflip and get 1 million views, but now guys are just doing triple backflips for practice. And that's just what happens when a platform is out for long enough. And I think there is part of me that, like, is sort of thinking that, like, YouTube is kind of, like, is sort of, like, fading out in some ways. Like, if we want to talk specifically about YouTube, just in terms of, like, gross, I guess, cultural phenomenon wise, just because with all these other platforms that are becoming, like, more and more popular, like Instagram and TikTok, and I guess mainly those two. And especially now that TikTok is doing longer form content. But at the same time, it's also just because people are doing really amazing stuff there, and it just doesn't operate in the same way that it used to.
I think the big thing is it's that you used to be able to do a triple backflip, and now a triple backflip, everyone's doing it. So it's nothing, right?
Yeah.
You have to do a triple backflip while also having something else that they care about. Like, you can, there's still video, like Smart Not Smarter Every Day. What's the other stuff made here with that guy? Like, his first video went viral, and every one of his videos has gone viral since then.
Yeah. But right? It's because he has that niche. Like,
because he makes really good stuff.
Yeah.
That's why.
All right. Can we talk about the fact that Colin Furze has now put out 4 videos in a row of digging a hole? Like, and he gets the views.
That's actually another thing as well, though. And I think that is something that I think is pretty cool. The fact that, like, YouTube is matured enough now that the kind of, like, spectrum of what gets popular has also become, like, very, very broad. Like, I find that very interesting in terms of, I don't feel, like, especially pressured to make any one sort of video. So it's interesting to see that, like, all of these different niches popping up. And you're like, ooh, I could try making a video like that. And actually, like, yeah. I'm planning on doing something this weekend, like making a type of video that I've never made before. And part of the appeal of that is, like, oh, there's this whole, like, subculture of people who are proven to be interested in this sort of video. So why don't I try doing something like that? And I find it's, you know, it's like the double-edged sword of a thriving economy, right? Like, everything gets very expensive and inaccessible, but at the same time, it makes for, like, really interesting innovation.
Totally. It's hard, I think, because, like, if I make a video that, like, I'm sure all three of us have made videos that are more exciting and better than videos with millions of views.
Yeah, for sure. But it's the audience that they have, though.
Sometimes, or as it's well. Dumb luck. Right. Yeah. Like,
see, and a lot of times I think that the 2 or 3 days after I put out a video, and then, like, a month later, I watch it and I'm like, eh, this wasn't as good as I thought it was at the time. And then I'll be like, oh, these other guys, like, they're pacing, they're knowing what the value of the video is and all these other things. Like, they maybe deserved it a little more than I thought I did at the time. I think my view of how good I think one of my videos is in the moment is very biased.
I'm with you 100%. And that's the part of chasing the high, right? Is that you think this is, everyone is going to be the one. But
yeah,
what I mean is there are videos with millions of views that are garbage. Like,
sure. Yeah.
There definitely are. And you've put out better videos than that.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. I'm not saying that every one of your videos is a million view video. What I'm saying is that sometimes garbage gets put to the top.
I don't know, Grant. The duck walked up to a lemonade stand video. That's pretty like platinum record material.
But I could watch that because it's for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. But whenever I see some sort of like a maker video getting millions of views and I just look at it and it's kind of like, it's like when you watch a movie and you see someone making something and you just go like, they're doing it wrong. You're doing it all wrong. How you shouldn't be able to, no, that's not it. Right. And you can tell like they're overproduced and it's wrong. And it's not like I really love seeing when people are making a video and it's a, like, I don't know, the Forge. I really like those blacksmith stories from the Forge that like Steve puts out. I think it's one of those that I just kind of like, it seems like they're trying to tell the story the right way. But when you see some sort of overproduced garbage and you just go, why is this getting millions of views? That's when I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Now, so to change it up a little bit, have you guys ever tried to jump on a trend because you want to chase that high?
I can't say
that. I mean, I guess on a macro level, like not like a, this is a trend this month, but like in the fact of like, oh, people, like I'll put out a video in a category that in general people seem to like knife making or like making a table or doing 3D printing stuff. So I guess those are trends in a way, but in terms of more, I guess like if you're talking about like river tables or more like project-based trends, no, I don't think I've ever done that.
No. No, I don't think I have, and I will, but I would make something because I want to. Like, eventually I'm going to be making a river table, but it's not because I'm trying to be viral. It's just because I want to make one.
What? Now I'm second guessing myself. I'm like, oh, have I actually done that? And I'm like looking like a fool right now because everyone's like, Morley, what are you talking about? You've definitely done that. I have no idea. I'm not sure. Checking my channel right now to see what I've put out.
Like, it would be like if today you were deciding to put out a fractal vise.
Right, like, right.
That's the thing right, that's blowing up right now. That is the, you know, like, it is a...
I've never even heard of them until Jimmy talked about them.
Well, I hope you had heard about them when I talked about it, before Jimmy talked about it, but that's fine.
Well, maybe it was you that talked about it.
Okay. Jimmy also talked about it and recommended on making it, but I'm glad you were paying attention during my clamp mendation.
Well,
maybe,
you know,
maybe it was you. I don't remember. My mind's not in the good space right now.
I think something with my projects is that they feel to me to be like so just like personal or derived of my own interests that it would be kind of unrealistic for me to expect that any one of them would blow up a lot because I'm not really, like you said, like kind of chasing those trends in that way. Like the probability that what I wanted to make in that moment lines up perfectly with like Google Analytics at that time is very low. Whereas other people who I guess would say are doing YouTube more professionally, like, you know, they are kind of having the product to market fit a little better.
Right, like when the tensegrity tables came out and somebody did one, and then my entire feed, I never have watched one because I got it. I understood how they worked. I went, I don't need to see this. And then my entire feed was them. And I went, I haven't watched one. Why are YouTube, what is wrong with you? Why are you recommending that I watch every single one out there? Well, it's because people are watching them, right? It's like doing a charcuterie board or a cutting board around Christmas. Those videos blow up. Do them. Doing a plant stand, planter box video in the spring, right? It's like I know Bob from Bob's Wood Stuff. He likes to chase those trends. He does more like a trend analysis. He may not be trying to tensegrity table it up, but he's definitely like looking at trends. What's, you know, planning it out. It's more, he wants to be a full-time YouTuber, like you said. And I guess I'm, I don't know. I feel like if I had a good idea and I really wanted to do it and somebody else did it that was big and their video blew up, I wouldn't do it. even if I thought my idea was better, even if I thought I could make a better video than them, I wouldn't do it because I feel like I would be judging myself the entire time if I didn't hit as big a numbers.
Hmm. Quick sidebar. We're doing a couple tensegrity projects at camp this summer, or this session rather.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be so,
super cool.
Yeah. And they're really cool in person too. Like when one of the instructors prototyped and showed to me, like I had, you know, I've seen like tensegrity sculptures, but I'd never seen like a little like small scale popsicle stick and glue gun model. And I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. They did this really cool one where you take basically two origami cranes and you like suspend one above the other. And it's very striking when you just look at it. Like it doesn't look like it should work. So it makes a lot of sense that those blew up, even if it did get annoying after a certain amount of time. It's like, yeah, this is pretty cool to most people.
It wouldn't bother me if YouTube didn't shove it down my throat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Same with river tables. Like I remember Instagram when I first joined Instagram and I was looking around, I saw some river tables like, these are so cool. And then Instagram was like, you like river tables? Would you like to see every single person who makes river tables? I was like, no, I don't. I saw a couple. Now I get it. I don't need to see any more.
I feel like YouTube treats us very differently. I never feel like I'm getting any singular trends shoved down my throat. I feel like I'm just getting shown like pretty good stuff in a variety of categories most of the time. I think the recommendations are and I usually don't even watch the recommended videos on YouTube, but every time I look at my homepage, I'm like, oh, that looks pretty cool. That's a category I haven't seen in a while. It's pretty measured.
Mine is not. Like YouTube used to be good, but as soon as I have a problem in my house and I search for it, all my YouTube videos are like how to clean out the trap on a LG washer dryer. And you're like, what? Like, I already saw that. I know how to do it. I don't need you to tell me how to do it. Like I did that 2 weeks ago. Anyways, sorry. That was another little rant. I'm ranty today. Sorry, everyone. For those who listen to the pre-show, I think I went into a rant there too. But
oh my God. And sorry, go on.
Go on. No, go.
No, it was nothing. You please talk.
So, you know, when I think about chasing the high, I also like to think about when I first started YouTube, I was posting my video links everywhere. You know, like the people, like I remember being this guy.
Yeah, that was
the guy that was posting them literally anywhere there was people. Anything that was just slightly relevant on Reddit, I'd post it there, mm-hmm. right? Any Facebook group I could find, I joined them all and I posted links, right? And I get why people don't like that. And I don't do it anymore. But I also feel like if you don't put yourself out there, you're not going to get it. You know, I know as soon as I stopped doing that, I saw less people watching my videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been there and I think I've in some ways made a conscious effort to try not to do that as much because I'm annoyed when I see other people doing that. And I'm like, I don't really want to be that guy anymore. So I'm going to just try to see if YouTube decides to recommend it. And if it does, great. And if not, well, that stinks. But I don't know. I'd rather post it a handful of places that feels like it makes sense rather than just spam it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I definitely did that as well.
Now. Like I'll just post it to my Instagram and stuff now. And even then half the time I forget to do that. I put out the second video from my workbench and realized when I put out the third video that I never actually promoted the second video.
But, yeah.
I think trying to get people from Instagram to YouTube is very difficult.
Yeah, definitely.
But getting people to watch it from Facebook is pretty easy.
Hmm.
Like Facebook and Reddit, I find you have a chance at people clicking the link.
Yeah.
The problem with Instagram is you're on your phone and you open it at Instagram and it doesn't open the YouTube app.
Yeah.
It opens like an Instagram browser version. And then if you want to try and get it into the YouTube app where it actually like looks normal and all the things function properly, you have to click like 17 more times. It's so frustrating.
What mobile developer thought it would be a good idea to every time you open a link within an app to just do it within the app, just open the browser.
Oh, I know. And there's no way around it. It's so Oh, you're almost getting me down. G rant number three.
Okay. Before you go too far down there, I think I'm actually surprised I haven't talked about this yet, but the times where I've had things kind of blow up and get a lot of views very quickly, like when I did the desk I'm sitting at right now, like the little Nook desk, or I guess like the honeycomb coasters or the fountain that I did, or like the bed drawers. Actually, that one, not as much. That was very, very positive feedback in general. But some of the other ones, like, it's also an influx of a lot of negativity because you all of a sudden have a lot of people looking at it and criticizing it. So in some ways, when those things blow up a lot, like, unless you have a tangible benefit that you can point to, in some ways it causes more stress or badness or just negativity in your life than if it just middled along. And that's not saying that I don't want things to do well, but it definitely is something that happens that when things do unexpectedly well, you're like, oh my God, now I have to, all these things that I feel like I have to respond to. And then you also have to balance like, well, how many of these am I going to ignore? How many am I going to address? I don't know about you, what your guys' perspective is on this, but like, I feel like once I've responded to one comment about a thing, like I'm not going to start responding to all of them with the exact same answer. I'm like, that person can find the answer if they want.
I welcome negativity. I 100% welcome negativity because it adds engagement. And that is what YouTube and everything wants to see is engagement. If it's negative and then that can start a conversation, that's more engagement for the algorithm to see. I had a guy comment on, I had a bit of fun with him, but Vuv put up like one of my videos and he commented saying another person using a circular saw without a riving knife. And I commented saying, I've never seen a circular saw with a riving knife. He was talking about a table saw. And so I just started going on with, I don't know what you're talking about. And a guard as well. And I'm like, well, my circular saw has a guard and I've never seen a circular saw with a riving knife. So I don't know what you're talking about. And then like, he didn't even pick up on what I was saying. And then like the next comment I had to be like, I'm pretty sure you're talking about a table saw, but it created some engagement. So
what I think is funny is that a lot of the negative comments come from people who don't even understand. Like,
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Like they say it on my saw, like it doesn't have a riving knife. My saw didn't come with a riving knife. There's not a way of putting a riving knife on my saw. Right. It's either designed for a riving knife or it's not. Right. And a riving knife, I would love to have one. I don't have one. Right. And you can't use a riving knife on all cuts. And you can't use a splitter or a guard on all cuts. Right. Yeah. And so people just say it because they think they know what they're talking about, but they don't always. And that's the only time that I ever get frustrated. And it's like the time I shouldn't be frustrated. If they have a valid criticism against my piece, I don't get frustrated with it. I guess I just get frustrated with people who are stupid.
Yeah, I think my thing is that like I feel like a lot of times when people like are criticizing something, especially if a lot of people are saying it, I'm like, oh, I think those people are kind of right, and it makes me then feel like bad about my own work. And I guess maybe that's just you guys are your sign of maturity over me. I'm still learning to deal with depersonalizing myself from the work a little bit.
Well, I plan on putting the riving knife back on my table saw, but I would never put on the cover, like the dust cover that connects onto the riving knife, because it just gets in the way. And honestly, I'm never going to hook up a dust thing to it. I don't see a point in it. Like,
I'll say after working in a production cabinet shop, it's very nice, especially when you're cutting MDF. Like, it doesn't get all of the dust, but when you're doing a lot of cuts, it gets a lot of it, and it's really nice.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm doing a lot of cuts, I put my dust shield thingy on.
Where does yours connect to?
If you don't have a riving knife. Behind the table saw through a splitter. A splitter is like, it's always at, like, it's like a splitter is basically a riving knife that doesn't go up and down with the saw. So it's always at full height.
Yeah, right.
So that's what, and then the thing connects to that. And it goes beyond the table. It's really frustrating. But the saw is also free, so it was my grandfather's. So I don't like, the only way I'm ever replacing that saw is if I get a saw stop. And the only way I'm getting a saw stop is if somebody gives me a saw stop. And I'm never going to do a sponsored video. So like, I'd have to lose my job to do sponsored videos.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't like pressure.
Okay.
It's like, so the pressure of trying to get a video with a lot of views is doubled or tripled, or in my case, because I have some sort of neuroses, like 10 times more when somebody else is also relying on it.
Fair enough.
That's why, like, anytime I've done a collaboration video and like, I know somebody else is like going to be actually done with it soon, I'm like pressured out the max. Like when I worked on the Austin mallet, and then Austin wasn't even ready to put up the stuff on the website. And I was like, God damn it, Austin.
Was I stressing you out when we were doing the camping videos?
No, because I was only stressing out because I wanted to release them at the same time to try and build off each other.
Right.
Right. So it was one of those.
Yeah. It wasn't for an exterior thing. It was for like a collaborative reason.
Right. Which I'm okay with because you're not trying to make money. Like you're trying to make money, but you're not, if my video fails, it doesn't change anything to your video. Right. But if my video fails and you gave me a saw stop, you'll be mad. Right.
All right.
Like if I had 200 views on a video where you gave me a saw stop, I think you'd probably be like, I don't think I got what we paid for. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should keep the rest of this conversation for the after show.
I think we can do that. Right. Well, yeah.
Where can we find the after show, Mr. Host?
Well, you know, if you wanted to join, thanks for trying to ruin my segue there perfectly. if you're interested in the after show, you know, you can go on to patreon.com/clamp and you can support us there. Every supporter, no matter how small or how big, gets access to the after show. There's a supporters as low as $1. We like to call those guys the spring clamps. So if you want to head on over to there, and I want to say thank you to the supporters there, you get access to both the after show and the pre-show, and Morley makes you a keychain out of leather and sends it to you. So head on over there. If you can't support us, totally understand that. You should feel free to share our podcast with a friend, especially if you think someone might be interested. I know I've seen Jacob Griffin. He's been sharing it a lot on Instagram stories, so I appreciate that. So that kind of thing. Share it on your stories. Share it on email it to your friends. You know what is funny? If you email something to someone, they're so much more likely to actually click that link. If I get an email from a friend that I actually trust is a real email, not a spam, but if my friend says, hey, I saw this podcast, this is real, and it's a real thing, it's like, you know, buzzsprout.com/clamp or whatever our address is, just clampclass.com, I would probably more likely go check it out. Or if you email a particular episode, say, this one was really good, more likely to check it out than, hey, everyone, go listen to Clamp.
Okay, right? Boomer. Who uses email anymore?
Everyone?
Really?
Well, if you got an email, you'd probably be like, hey, this is like getting a letter. You know what? Write a letter to someone. That's even more personalized.
Oh, they'll say, definitely please. Listen to the podcast if you suggest in a letter.
Right.
Oh, I love it.
If you'd like. Yeah. Anyways, you also get stickers. We also have clamp stickers. Yes. But until then, we're going to go into clampmendations. Clampmendations!
I'm going to leave that in one day, by the way.
I know.
That's why I was editing last week, and I'm like, should I leave this in? Anyway. All right, my clampmendation this week is going to be a Netflix show called Animal Kingdom. I came across it just before I got sick, and now I've been laying in bed watching it all. I'm like almost on season 3. I started it 4 days ago.
The description of that is not at all what I expected from the title.
Yeah. So this kid's mum ODs, and she gets brought in to live with his grandma, who is like, his grandma and uncles are like bank robbers and all this, and like, so like a crime family. And then he gets brought in and pretty much shoved into the middle of a crime family. Yeah. That's really good. I don't know how else to explain it.
Cool. I was expecting like a Planet Earth style nature documentary, and then when
that's what I thought it was.
The IMDb, I was like, oh, it's not that.
Yep.
Well, I'm also going to be recommending something I've been watching on Netflix, and it is a Canadian show put on, by a bunch of Canadian actors. Schitt's Creek. Eugene Levy stars along with his son Dan Levy, actually his daughter is in there as well. She plays Twyla, the waitress. I'm only on season one, but why I like it is and for people who know me, they know I like shows to be done before I start them, and this one's done. I like comedies, and Eugene Levy's a Canadian, rock star in my mind. You probably know him from the American Pie series for those watching. He was the father. Or if you're older, you might know him from SCTV. But anyways, go check out Schitt's Creek. I think it's hilarious. It's won a bunch of Emmys, I think, in the last year. Yeah.
My wife has finally agreed to watch it after we finish Overlander. So
nice.
Sweet. I wanted to give a shout out this week to Sarah Giffen from Viv Jewelry. I met Sarah back in December of last year when I bought some earrings she made. She's a polymer clay jewelry maker. So I bought them from Eden for Hanukkah, and then we stayed in touch. We had her on Into the Spotlight. And then in about a week and a half, a little over that, she's actually going to come as a guest speaker at the STEAM project at camp. She's going to teach the kids about like polymer clay jewelry making, which I'm super excited about. So I actually, this weekend, I might be trying making some 3D printed clay cutters for that activity. Basically like cookie cutters, but just for cutting clay instead, which she has used in the past. But yeah, she does really incredible work. She's like super prolific. Like she's always just working, making restocks. She does really cool like videos and TikToks as well about her process. And she's just crushing it. So at viv.jewelry on Instagram. She's also pretty big on TikTok if you like to see stuff over there. Sarah is awesome.
Grant loves it.
Yeah, I love TikTok. So every week, whenever we have a review, we get Morley to read the review in the voice of the person leaving the review, or if possible, the voice that the person wants. So this week we've got a review. It is, and I'll leave it up to Morley to take it from here.
All right. Trunks, 5 stars. I was really enjoying the show until I was called a 60-year-old grandpa. Orange Guy QC via Apple Podcasts from the United States of America. I'm going to be honest. I have no idea who this is. I thought it was Justin from Bare Naked because he said Orange Guy. And then the QC made me think Quebec City, but Grant corrected me that it's just the abbreviation for Quebec. But then it's in the United States of America. So honestly, no idea who you are. If this is you, please send us a message because I'm very curious. Also, if you call your swimsuit trunks, I guess you are a 60-year-old grandpa.
Ooh. Yeah. Sorry. That's a pretty young grandpa, though. Just going to put that out there. There's much older grandpas. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Orange Guy, and really appreciate the review. If you are Justin, then you have 2 accounts. And you signed up a second account just for that. And we should have read it in a Minnesotan accent. But next time, don't forget, if you're interested in leaving us a review, we really appreciate them. It lets people know. It really does help surface us on things like Apple Podcasts. There's a bunch of other places you can leave reviews. If you leave a review anywhere outside of Apple Podcasts, let us know, because it is difficult for everywhere in the world to go check every week. I try and check all the different places, but I know people, you know, leave reviews on like Podcast Addict or some other, you know, random apps that you can leave reviews on. If you leave reviews there, let us know. That way we can make sure that Morley gets to read them. Until next time, I want to thank TF Turning for the use of the theme song, and you get to hear that and Morley's rendition of it if you happen to be a Patreon supporter. And I want to say, you know, you can find us if you're looking for us and you want to interact with us. We've got Instagram, we've got Facebook, we've got Twitter. We don't have TikTok because TikTok sucks. And except for Morley has a TikTok, but the show doesn't have a TikTok. But you can find us just searching for Clampcast. Or if you want, you can go for Clam Podcast, as Dave Bauer likes to say.
It does make sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, the Clam Podcast. That's what we are. thank you, everyone. And we'll chat next week.
See you.
Adam is muted.
I was muted. See ya.